The renewing grace of the Spirit of life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and praise, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 5th chapter. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
This is quite a lengthy gospel, so I would invite you to be seated. The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Recall that Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.
Give me a drink.
How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?
If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us a well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up into eternal life.
Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.
Go, call your husband and come back here.
I have no husband.
You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem.
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am he, the one who is speaking to you.
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
The people left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something."
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
The disciples said to one another, "Surely, no one has brought him something to eat."
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 more months, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you, and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Last weekend for golf time.
I kept telling him all those days that water had some wonderful qualities. He didn't believe me. He took his soggy golf clubs and went home a day early. I have friends visiting this week from South Carolina, seminary friends, and thankfully the weather is a lot better, and that didn't keep us dry though. A day at SeaWorld took care of that. We are indeed soggy people. Did you know that the human body is made up of over 70% water? Experts tell us that a person can live for a whole month without food, but a person could only live 3 or 4 days without water. Water is important, necessary. I know I don't drink enough water, and I'm told that, you know, that I need to increase my water intake for my own health. Experts tell us, the health experts say that as soon as you start to feel thirsty, you're beginning in the beginning stages of dehydration. That as soon as you start feeling thirst, that your body is dehydrating. We need water for health and for life. And by the end of the sermon, everybody will be walking out to get a drink of water, because even the thought of having that water makes us thirsty. Getting that feel? Water is a wonderful religious metaphor. There's a lot of writing about water as a symbol. And our Bible has many images. I mean, water is an image in many stories. Our scripture today. The first reading, we see the Israelite people. Their faith is astonishing. Not because of the abundance of their faith, but because of the lack of faith. Just think of these people. They had just experienced the parting of the waters that allowed them to get to the to freedom, to safety. They were being pursued by Egypt's army, and they passed through that water to safety. And now they're questioning God's care for them. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to let us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? What short memories. Couldn't they remember that God had just saved them by letting them pass through the waters? Wouldn't this same God give them water from a rock in the middle of the wilderness? God responds to these
fickle, forgetful people, not with condemnation, not with punishment, but with water. God is always gracious. God responds. They complained, and God gave them water. The gospel story tells of a woman who goes to the well and gets much more than the water that she was expecting. She was promised water with properties far beyond her wildest imagination. God is always gracious. You wouldn't think that the whining Israelites deserved water from a rock. You wouldn't think that this woman at the well deserved life-giving water. But God is always gracious. The woman at the well had a number of strikes against her. First of all, she's a woman. And in this male-preferred society, women did not deserve any special privileges. Women were considered unworthy to have conversation about God or the things of God. Secondly, this woman was a Samaritan. Observant Jews considered the Samaritans to be less than religious people. The Samaritans had fallen away from the true and the right. They had abandoned the true faith, according to observant Jews. And that an observant Jew would have nothing to do with a Samaritan. And then we have the question of the woman's virtue. She has a long history of marriage. 5, 6 marriages. She's not a young woman, most likely. She's probably grown tired of the whispers and the gossip at the well that would come her way from the other women at the well. So going later in the day, even though it's hot at noon, going later in the day would save her from having to meet the gossiping women of town. She would go in peace and keep her privacy. As a man and as a Jew, Jesus knew that his conversation with this woman was crossing the boundaries. It wasn't considered right for a man to have a conversation with a woman in public. It wasn't considered right for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan or to share things with a Samaritan. But, you know, Jesus was never too concerned about what other people thought. Jesus was always, is always, willing to cross the boundaries in order to save, to reach out to those who need saving in spite of what society might say or what the laws of that society might say. He reached out to this woman with life-giving water. She comes to the well thirsty for water, but her conversations with Jesus show that she's thirsty for insight. She's looking for something more. Jesus promises her water that springs up, gushes into eternal life. Last week we heard the story of Nicodemus, who goes searching for the Messiah, looking for Jesus. Well, this woman wasn't looking for Jesus. She was just going about her regular business. She was there with her water jar at the city well, doing the daily activity of her life. She wasn't looking for God. She wasn't looking to change her life. She wasn't looking for it. And Jesus said, I will give you living water. She wasn't looking for it. And Jesus offered her the very best gift. Just when she needed it the most. She didn't even realize she was thirsty for the living water of Jesus. But Jesus knew she was dying of thirst. He knew she was thirsty. And he gives her the promise of eternal life,
the promise of living water. And Jesus does the same for you and for me. We may not even be looking for God. We might just be going about our daily business, doing our tasks from day to day, living, just living. And today, as we go about our ordinary things, we hear this good news. The good news that God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. That has been given to us. Jesus says, the water that I give to you is life-giving water, eternal life, gushing up into eternal life. We are told with the Israelites that God will quench our thirst, whether we realize that we are spiritually dehydrated or not. Jesus is the source of that living water that's freely and abundantly poured out for us. There's no thought of us earning this water. The Israelites were undeserving. The woman at the well was undeserving. You and I are undeserving too. But God is always gracious. God is always ready to give us that life-giving water, to quench our thirst, to save us from dying of thirst. So where will you find that living water today? Jesus is the source, and we find that water in the Word. So immerse yourself in that Word. Read the Bible. Listen to the Word proclaimed. Join a Bible study. Drench yourself in the Word of God. Find those pools of God's Word and soak up that living Word of God. Soak up that eternal life that's promised in the Word of God. Drench yourself in the gift that is Jesus' living water in worship and in Holy Communion. Find yourself some time during the day for private prayer, for family devotion. Take every opportunity that you can to eat the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Drench yourself in the living water that is offered for you, given for you and for me. God's love, God's life is not a little trickle, is not a drop given. It's an ocean, more than an ocean. It is eternal life that's gushing up, springs of water that gush up in our souls. Surround yourself with other soggy Christians and find that living Word today. Jesus gave this woman at the well what she really needed. Not condemnation, not a lecture, but living water. He offered her what she really needed, what she couldn't live without, what she needed for life. That life-giving water of Jesus himself. And Jesus does the same for you and for me. So drink deep. Drink deeply of the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the pools of his Word. Drench yourself in the Word of God. Drink deeply and quench your thirst. Amen.